Hey guys, welcome to the show. We have something special for you this week. An episode we dug out from the archives. It's got too much feudy goodness, so we had to release it for you. It's a movie called The Hunt. It's a Danish mystery drama starring Mads Mikkelsen. You know, the guy from Casino Royale who bleeds from his eye? Or the guy in Rogue One who everyone's looking for? Yeah, that one. Vidur and I had a blast recording this episode, so we had to release it for you to see who you think won this week's feud. Hope you guys enjoy. Bye-bye!
In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
This is a podcast?
Yes.
I thought we were doing YouTube videos, man.
There is no camera where we are. That's a microwave, dude. You've been watching too much Kellyanne Conway.
What? Fine, let's get on with this podcast. Hi, guys. I'm Vikram.
Jesus, could you be more disappointed?
Dude, I'm just kidding, man. Chill out. Let's do this.
I'm a little sensitive, okay?
Wow.
All right, just because of that, why don't you explain what we're doing here?
Oh, this podcast.
This podcast.
Sure. So what we do is we randomly select a movie from the IMDb top 250, toss a coin, assign each other sides, and feud over the movie.
That's right. We feud.
We feud, and I win.
No, you don't. In fact, it's up to the listeners to decide who wins. That's you guys, and you can tweet at us at FilmFeudPod. Let us know who you think won. Let us know what arguments you might have made. Let us know how you're feeling today. Anything.
So they do this over our comment section on YouTube, correct?
It's a podcast, dude.
Oh, man. I keep forgetting, dude.
Just reach out to us one way or the other. Let us know what you think.
What we get, bruh?
We got number 106, The Hunt.
The what?
I haven't heard of this movie.
The Hunt.
It's number 106 on the IMDb, and I've never heard of this movie.
The Hunt. The Who's Hunt. In it? What's it about? Tell me something about it, bro.
Dude, Mads Mikkelsen is in this movie.
He's not a bad actor.
Yeah. He's not a bad actor at all. So just so we're clear, both of us have not heard of this movie.
When did it come out?
2012. Apparently, it's a Danish drama film directed by Thomas Vinterberg. Not Winterberg, but Vinterberg.
Oh, dude, this will be fun. What's this one called in Danish?
Well, I'm just going to say it as I read it. It's called Jagten. Or if I was saying it in a Hindi accent, I would say Jagten.
Jagten.
If I was to guess its Danish pronunciation, I would guess Jagten.
So would I. Hey, we're both equally bad / good at this. Do you want to read out the premise for the movie?
Sure. So according to IMDb, a teacher lives a lonely life, all the while struggling over his son's custody. His life slowly gets better as he finds love and receives good news from his son. But his new luck is about to be brutally shattered by an innocent little lie. This just sounds like life.
Even the title, it doesn't symbolize anything that you sort of mentioned in the summary right now.
All right, well, I'm excited about this coin toss because I couldn't really give a f***.
Same, actually. You know what? I do give a f***.
What do you want it to be?
I'll tell you that after the coin toss.
I'm one with the coin. I think the coin will predict how I feel about the movie
accurately. Sure, let's see what the coin predicts then.
Let's do it. So how the coin toss works is that I'm going to be the subject of the coin toss. And if it comes heads, then that means I argue for The Hunt.
I'd already forgotten that The Hunt was the movie for this podcast. Damn.
So I got tails. Exciting, I guess.
I think this is going to be a fun episode because I think this is the first time it's been a movie that both of us haven't seen. So it's going to be a completely fresh perspective. It's not a movie that we need to refresh ourselves with or rewatch from a different perspective or something. It's just going to be a fresh take, fresh eyes, fresh opinions. Well, biased opinions, slightly. But it's going to be a fun episode. I'm excited, man.
Great. Let's do it. Let's watch the movie.
Let's go watch the movie.
Dude, I'm so bummed out right now. That was torture. I don't know why we made ourselves go through that.
What are you even talking about, man? Like, I knew this was going to happen since you were arguing against this movie, but...
Are you telling me you're not bummed out from that movie?
The movie made me sad, yes, but not because of how bad it was, which you're trying to say.
It's 50-50. Here's how I would summarize my experience. This was the least enjoyable Danish thing I have ever consumed in my life.
Name 5 other Danish things you've consumed in your life.
I knew you'd ask me that.
Oh, you have something ready for that. Nice.
But I only came prepared with 3.
3 doesn't count. 3 doesn't count because then I can name 3 off the top of my head right now.
Before I name my pre-prepared Danish things, let's hear your off the top of your head Danish things.
Danish cookies.
What the fuck are Danish cookies? You can't just name a thing and add the word Danish before it. It needs to be a prevalent Danish thing.
Danish cookies are prevalent. What are you talking about?
3 Danish things I have consumed.
Right.
Way better than this movie.
Sure. Danish women.
I wish.
Okay.
Danish pastries. Uh-huh. Danishes.
Danishes.
Danish.
The Danishes.
Lego.
Lego.
Lego. Fun fact, Lego is Danish.
So Lego becomes a Danish thing you have consumed.
I have consumed Lego. I have enjoyed Lego way more than The Hunt. And also the band Aqua, which had the song Barbie Girl. Also something I consumed that I enjoyed way more than The Hunt. So this is now solidly at the bottom of the 4 Danish things I have consumed in life.
Oh. So first question, Aqua is Danish?
Yeah, surprising, right? First question to you. The movie's not in English, bro.
No shit.
It's called The Hunt. I don't know if it was called
Yagdun.
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 Yeah. It's
We're so culturally insensitive right now.
I'm not. You are.
Yagdun.
Yagdun.
Hey, I actually did look up a joke relevant to this movie.
You looked up a joke?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What is the difference between a Dane and a Norwegian?
Their country of origin?
No one cares. This movie sucked.
Oh, man. I think this is the first episode. Yeah, it is the first episode where none of us have had any clue about the movie before.
All I knew about this movie was that Mads Mikkelsen was in it, based on the poster. And yes, it's Mads, not Mads, peasant.
Of course it is.
But as I like to call him in this movie, Galen Pedo.
Galen Pedo.
So you actually like this movie. You actually enjoyed this movie.
I think it was a really, really well-made movie.
And you think it deserves to be on the IMDb top 250?
Dude, come on. Let's be straight. There are some pieces of shit on the IMDb top 250. So
I completely agree.
This is not one of them. If
100%
that was your
this
follow-up.
Is one of them.
Come on, dude. This movie was actually good enough to be there.
You don't know this, but Yaktun actually means piece of shit in Urdu.
Of course it does not. It's so good. The photography, the direction. You keep harping upon how a story doesn't build on a narrative and stuff like that. All of those elements are present in this movie.
Yes, this movie has a narrative. Fucked up one at that. And I will grant this sort of realistic, real cinema vibe that the director, who I'm going to call Thomas Vinterberg, I did not look up how to pronounce his name in Danish. He's famous for his realism in his cinema. And I grant that. It all looks super real. The soundtrack was amazing, just like live soundtrack, fucking dead silent. Interesting, I grant it. And I think the cinematography was also really good.
Great. Good argument with it. Thanks for that.
Everything else in this movie was shit. This movie tried so hard to evoke emotions. Oh, kid. Oh, sympathy. Oh, rock in the head. Oh, nobody loves him. Oh, church. I felt nothing. It kept backing away from its own emotions.
This movie actually did the complete opposite. It didn't try explicitly hard to evoke emotion. It just showed something that would have happened as close to reality as possible. And that's where the brilliance of this film lies, right? This made me think of...
Do you think Danish society is actually like this?
No, maybe. I don't know. I don't know much about Danish society, but...
Do you think the story made sense in Denmark? You know, wasn't there like some level of failure of credibility in terms of the events that unfolded, because it was all a little too convenient, you know? I mean, firstly, the movie was very predictable. I think you'd agree with that, at least. because we know who did what, we know what's actually happening, and we kind of know where it's going for the most part. You know, you have that whole like false lies, mob mentality, all these like psychological phenomenon playing out. I thought it was fairly predictable. And then, I don't know, I don't think the inner society is like this, bro. I think I always imagine it's like nice and fluffy and yellow.
And yellow.
The pastry has a lot to do with how I view Danish society, but I don't think it's like this.
See, this movie is not supposed to have any plot twists or any turns. It's not supposed to have any scenes where you're like, oh man, I did not expect that to happen or anything like that. That's not the point of this movie. Because the director specializes in realism, he wanted to show a series of events which would have unfolded in reality as close as he could to in film. And I think Mikkelsen acted phenomenally. Are you serious? You don't like his acting?
I'm just snoring because reality is f***ing boring. That's not why I watch a f***ing movie. Least of all, a movie where I have to follow along in subtitles. Oh, God.
And also, coming to your second point about Danish people, whether this is what Danish people are like or not, I can't really tell you because I haven't had any deep interaction with Danish society. But if yours is based on Danishes, i.e. the pastries, then you don't know shit either, right?
The point of this movie is to show and use the phrase Willy over and over again until it's just ingrained in my head.
You know why I really like this movie? Because it starts off and it shows Mikkelsen going about his life. It shows life in that Danish village. And then it sort of establishes this scene, this big scene or this environment within which, or the construct in which the movie's set in. And then just these little pieces of information that keep coming towards you. For instance, when he's walking the little girl home, Clar, and because she's a...
What a bitch, by the way.
Wow.
I'm just going to just openly say it. What a fucking catalyst for chaos.
Not calling her a bitch here, but then it evoked something in you, right? You got pissed off because of what she...
It evoked something in me. Like, her first 30 minutes, she's like Damien Omen in the Swedish girl version of it. Except she's not Swedish.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long, long time.
It scared the shit out of me, dude. She was just completely expressionless. She's like, I'm going to fuck your life here. I'm going to say I saw his willy over there. I'm going to destroy his life over there. Scared the shit out of me, Clar.
I'm still tripping on Damien Omen, dude. Where did that come from? Yeah, man. So she messed things up in the movie. She's the reason the movie became what it became. But coming back to it, why I really liked it was when he's walking her home to her house. And she just, because she's innocent and she's a little girl, she doesn't know anything. She has no filter. She just happens to mention that my dad thinks that you're a lonely man who lives in a big house. Right. Even though her dad is literally... His best friend, Mikkelsen's best friend. And then that goes on to establish what Mikkelsen's image in his society is of this lonely guy and who's sort of sad, even though on the face of it, they're all buddies and stuff like that. And that is why, as the movie progresses, even though Clar maybe two or three times in the movie says that, oh, I did whatever I did, I said something stupid, that didn't actually happen. But the parents, they don't believe her, or the families, they don't believe anything that the kids say because they have this perception of Mikkelsen in their head.
I do like that one sequence in particular when Clar confesses that she made it all up and the mother is
right
somehow vying to believe that her daughter was actually molested or sexually abused. That's pretty fascinating. Yes, again, backed up by like a lot of psychology, you know, this like false narrative and false memories and how easy it is for people to get convinced. That's cool. But then everything else that happens around it, like I said, is predictable. And then when it wasn't predictable, it was also kind of just annoying. Like, why did he break up with his girlfriend who was so supportive in that moment? Why did he take the whole scandal the way he did?
Did you see the situation he was in? He was getting mind-fucked day by day and it just progressively got worse and worse for him. So he just sort of lashed out at his girlfriend, right?
I guess. I do like that this movie does show that it's very inclusive in a way because it just shows that people suck everywhere.
That's why I really like this movie because it's real, even though it's fiction and anything, but it's portrayed humans as they usually are.
It's so weird because I tried to look this up a little bit in the context of Denmark and the society. I was actually curious when I was asking you. Because apparently Denmark is the least corrupt place in the world. You would think that would play into it. Like this whole situation in India, you are fucked, my friend. or you have money and nothing happens to you at all, right? So in Denmark, I mean, it's weird. It's one of the most Western countries there is. They have a good, fair legal system.
No, I mean, that's the thing, right? Legally, he's not in trouble or anything. It's just the story focuses on these social constructs.
But interestingly, in Denmark, apparently, you know, pedophiles or pedophiles, if you're so inclined, are considered sick people, like that should be helped rather than punished, which is definitely a view that I hold, a controversial one, actually. And, you know, they have, it's like Alcoholics Anonymous. They have like support groups and stuff in Denmark. So I'm curious. I mean, is this movie in a bit of a hyperbole, or does it even make sense for it to be set in Denmark? This movie in India would have been very interesting.
I think the country of setting here is not important. I feel like, even though, like you mentioned, that people in Denmark have a very different outlook towards pedophiles, it doesn't mean that every person or every citizen of a small village, for example, would have that same outlook. And I feel like if this movie would have been in any other Nordic country or any other European country...
Oh, you think this movie is showing Danish people like their own deep south of Denmark kind of thing?
Not at all, no.
You don't think so?
I don't think Denmark's big enough to have a deep south redneck hick community.
Yeah, although if this movie was set in the US, 100% this would be, of course, like a southern community.
Or like Alabama? No, it'd
be worse. Yeah, it'd be like Alabama. Or Mississippi? I mean, I don't know why I said Alabama's worse. Alabama's
Mississippi?
Great. Some place.
Any other place you want to hate on in the States? That's the thing. My point here is the setting, the country or anything doesn't matter. Because if this would have happened in any other country, it would have made as much sense. Because people or a country can have an outlook or a consensus in terms of their outlook towards pedophiles or criminals or alcoholics or something like that, but there will still be people who will be dead against it, and people especially who feel like their direct descendants or their kids or something have been the ones who have been sexually abused. And that's what they try to show in this movie. If this movie would have happened in India, in Delhi or Bihar or any other place, if it would have happened in the States, in Africa, the outlook would have still been the same, because it's a very human emotion, and this movie deals a lot with social constructs, for example.
That is a fun factoid in terms of, yes, this is how humans are, this is a human emotion, but it doesn't convert to good cinema. And I use the word cinema very artistically there. Have you heard of or seen the 2008 movie Doubt?
I have heard of it, I have not seen it. 2008 specific, right?
Yeah,
specific.
There's a doubt that comes out every year. I just wanted to make sure you knew. This was the one with some, you know, semi-famous actors, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Great actor, dude.
And Meryl Streep.
Who's that?
This chick, she's finding a way in the business.
Yeah.
I have to be honest, I haven't seen it either. But mm-hmm. I know the story a little bit. And basically, Meryl Streep's character is trying to take on Philip Seymour Hoffman's character because she thinks, as the head nun, that he, as a priest, may have sexually abused a child. And that is a more interesting dynamic, because throughout the movie, it's ambiguous whether he's done it or not. That is a journey that the audience takes. You know, it's an emotional roller coaster when they are feuding, if I might plug ourselves, into the 2008 movie Doubt. But also in terms of us understanding what Philip Seymour Hoffman's character really is. This was just a kind of a boring journey. I mean, there's just no other way for me to put it. Yes, it's slice of life, but there are more interesting slice of life movies. I mean, Manchester by the Sea was sad and slice of life, and yet it had a point, it had an interesting character. I just thought this was super predictable. You kind of knew what was going to happen to children or so the whole time.
So, from what you described about Doubt right now, I haven't seen the movie either. Is the Doubt is more of a suspense sort of a movie, right? You're waiting to see what happens to Philip Seymour Hoffman, whether he actually did it or not. Here, yeah. That's not the intention. And comparing it to Manchester by the Sea also does not serve its point, because Manchester by the Sea is about... it's too close to a slice of life movie. This one, The Hunt, is actually a little bit more than that, isn't it? It shows you what actually happens to Mads Mikkelsen's character, when he gets accused of this, and then how he's portrayed within society and what the effects of just that one small lie by that little girl leads to, and how it's
yeah. False memories. I wish I had false memories about this movie, bro. So I couldn't remember the yawns I was stifling throughout.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Mads Mikkelsen's acting in this movie?
I think it was really, really good. I know he's a good actor. I haven't seen Hannibal, but I've heard by maybe 10 or 12 people who've seen it, and they're just blown away by that show and his acting. And yeah. I was expecting something really good, and he delivered, dude. He was really, really good in this movie. In fact, I think everyone in this movie acted really well. because it felt authentic, and that's very, very tough to do as an actor, right?
I agree. I mean, he did a good job. His reputation does precede him, though. I mean, the reviews of Hannibal that I have received include people saying that he acted better than Anthony Hopkins, which is quite the statement. He definitely did not do that in this movie, as much as I can concede on his realism acting. You know, my favorite part of Mads Mikkelsen in this movie was this, like, Ocean's 12 style meta-comedy. Did you catch that? It's when his best friend Theo tells him that he knows when he's lying because his eye twitches.
Yeah.
Which is, like, such a callback to Casino Royale. Yeah, because I thought it's like...
I thought Le Chiffre's thing was his eye starts bleeding when he's
lying. His eye starts bleeding. I mean, they could... which was the worst poker tell I've ever seen in my life.
So wait, because his eye bleeds only one time in that movie, all of his other hands were not bluffs?
Yeah, he was just getting lucky all the way.
He's just getting like full houses the entire time. And then this one time he tries to bluff, his eye starts bleeding. That's epic.
Oh man. I did also have a problem with this supposed realism in this movie. It seems like they were actively avoiding these emotional arcs, like portions in the movie where audiences would connect and they would actually go along for the ride. For instance, Lucas gets a win when he does not have a basement and the kids all say that he took them to the basement, which is a big win for him. It's a big win for him shown through Marcus. But why has the movie shifted perspective? Why is that stuff just being narrated? It's like they're actively avoiding it. I didn't get that at all. I mean, to have a protagonist that you have everything riding on and then to actively devoid him of the wins that he gets, it makes for a weak experience watching the movie, right? You'd rather have ups and downs instead of just a down, 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 down.
So you would prefer that the whole basement, the police finding out about no basement and stuff happened from Mads Mikkelsen's perspective? Like him in a courtroom or in the police station or something?
Perhaps. You know what I'm going for is that you would actually feel a different set of emotions and probably a wider range of emotions.
No, actually, I disagree. You would feel a different set of emotions, but not a wider range. You feel a wider range because the perspective sort of shifts to his sons. Because Marcus has been completely absent throughout the movie. It's just been the phone calls here and there. And all of a sudden, he's there.
So what is that all about, actually? I was pretty confused about where Marcus suddenly came from.
He just, because he called up his dad the day after, right? When he was sent home from the nursery, he called up his dad and he said that they're not letting me come over and they're not letting me call you and stuff like that. It had been a month and he couldn't take it, so he just dropped into his house.
And then he kind of becomes a protagonist until Lucas comes back for some reason?
No, they just show everything happening from his perspective because he's also the son here, right? But imagine this happening to your dad. You would be devastated. And then the movie shows it again from a very realistic perspective from the son's from the son's eyes about how everything's unfolding in this situation. And I think that was a good twist because everything... They'd shown enough of how Mikkelsen was unraveling throughout all of this. And to involve Marcus into this was what contributed to the wider range of emotions that you mentioned earlier.
I think it was a cheat to just devoid us, the audience, out of the wins that Lucas is getting. Although I did enjoy the scene where Marcus just goes batshit crazy at Theo's house and then just starts yelling and swearing at them. I actually learned what fucking assholes is in Danish.
What is it exactly?
It's actually a klar.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. Clark messed a lot of stuff up in the movie, man.
Yeah.
And what I really liked about it was they tried to show that whole 1 year later and them being cordial on the surface, but then Mikkelsen sort of looking around and seeing those eyes meet with his other people. And then...
I think we're heading towards the ending, but before we do, I just want to mention one moment.
Sure.
The death of Fanny.
Bro, please let's not talk about that one, man. Please, let's not talk about that.
I felt nothing.
Are you kidding me? I think that's the most hard-hitting scene of the movie.
They dragged it out too much. They were like, oh, who's dead? Is it a dead body? Is it like Clark? Is it something more fucked up? Oh no, Fanny's dead.
Blah.
What are you talking about, dude? That was the most hard-hitting scene of the movie. The way they showed it, everything, like you could not think. I remember thinking when that black... the black plastic bag was outside his house and he's going towards it. I was like, dude, it's a dead body or some sort. Oh, dude, it's this. Oh, dude. And it was Fanny. And it was, oh, I don't want to talk about this.
You're just a weak-willed, weak-minded, easy-to-hard-hit individual.
No, I'm not.
I require some real emotion, some real investment, not just some stoic character.
This is real emotion. This is not a blown out of proportion emotion. This is all real.
This movie bored me. How's that for real emotion?
It is a real emotion, but that's clearly what you look for in a movie, right? Something that's expansive and blown out of proportion, and it's like, wow, this is real. This is
don't you fucking dare. Don't you make me out to be some like Marvel peasant and take the high ground on some artistic fucking subtitle movie as usual. Speaking of such things, let's talk about that ending.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Let me guess.
Great movie.
You loved it.
I loved it because it made me think.
It made me think of all the other things I could be doing right now.
I love movies that make you think. That's why Inception's ending was so good.
How dare you compare Inception's ending to this ending?
No. In terms of just making you think, they're completely different movies, completely different endings with completely different motivations. This movie's ending made you think about, obviously first, whether the shooter was real or not.
Was he?
I didn't think so. I thought.
Let me guess. It's open to interpretation.
It is, isn't it? Sort of. That's the way it was meant to be. And I think the shooter wasn't real. I think it was just a sort of symbolic.
How dare you take a stance? It's supposed to be open to interpretation. Okay.
Yes, this is my interpretation.
No.
No.
You have to be like Schrodinger's cat when it comes to this ending.
Oh, so he wasn't or was real at the same time?
Yeah, that's exactly. Go full artsy fartsy, bro. Never go half retard.
Yeah, no, I don't think the shooter was real. I thought it was symbolic in terms of...
he will forever be hunted.
Yes, yes.
Yakten.
Yaktun.
Yaktun.
Because his image in society, his place in society will never be the same again because he's been accused of... Why is that making you laugh?
I'll tell you why I'm laughing. Because I just imagined a Danish person listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Regardless, his position in society is never going to be the same again. He's been accused of sexually abusing little children. He's not been convicted of it. Legally, he's in the clear. But still, his friends, his own circle of close friends who he's grown up with, lived with all throughout, they will never view him the same way again. And this movie does a brilliant job of showing that on the surface, even if people are close to you and stuff like that, how easy it is to alienate them. So by the end of it, there were only two or three people who were by his side. And everyone else, including his best friend, who he thought was his best friend, all just that this separation will always exist between them. And therefore, he's always hunted. I mean, I don't know why you're hating on this movie. I mean, I do know why you're hating on this movie, but I don't know.
I'm hating on this movie because I think it was better suited as a play.
That makes no sense. Of course, it makes no sense, but thanks for that.
The lesson I took away from this movie is that, one, there's nothing as annoying as the moral high ground. And second, when a kid tells a lie, fucking mom will just fuck you over and just believe it.
Well, yeah, kids don't lie, apparently, right?
That's kids lie all the time. I lied all the time when I was a kid.
I used to lie like a motherfucker. Like, I was lying 24/7 when I was a kid. And then that whole, the caretaker of the nursery, the lady, she believed the kids instantly. She's like, kids don't lie. But then her fair point here was, kids don't lie about stuff like that.
What would you have done in Lucas's position?
I don't know, man. That's what they also tried to show. Like, the logical thing would be to tell everyone everything, right? Instead, you could see Lucas just doing these irrational things because he's confronted by a possibility that his life is going to be upside down from now. And he's accused of things that obviously he did not do. So there is no saying what you would do in that situation. So net, I think this movie was obviously really, really good and really well made. And I'm actually going to check out a couple of other movies that this director's made because I have really high hopes of them now.
I think this movie should have been called The Nap because that's what I wanted to do while watching it.
So in conclusion, the hunt for a good movie that Vidur actually likes continues.
You know how I know I'm going to win this argument? It's because I can see you weeping blood. So that was this week's episode of Film Feud. Thanks for listening.
Woo!
Can you wipe the blood off your face before you scream into the microphone?
Am I bleeding from both eyes or one eye?
One eye, bro.
The corner of my right eye.
If it's both eyes, you're not bluffing.
Oh.
If it's both eyes, you're just sad. It's the one eye you're bluffing.
I'm bluffing. I'm bluffing that this movie is good.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we feud it. And now you guys, our listeners, decide. You can tweet at us at Film Feud Pod. Let us know who you think won. maybe some arguments you might have made, maybe why I'm awesome, tweet at us, holler at us.
Yeah, and don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or whichever podcatcher you guys listen to.
Just listen to us, please. Okay, bye.
See ya.